You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking Cubs baseball today on this Wednesday, December 14th, with Phil Rogers, who was pinch hitting for Kerry Muscat this week. And Phil, we thank you for the time and for the availability. And Phil, it's been a few active days for the Cubs in terms of their bullpen as they lose Aroldis Chapman. That was pretty much a foregone conclusion. He re-signs with the Yankees for 5 years and a whole bunch of money, but they do bring in both Wade Davis via trade and Koji Uehara via free agency, the respective closers for the 2013 and 2015 World Series champions, as it turns out. Koji with the Red Sox and Davis with the Royals, of course. Now, obviously, nobody is Aroldis Chapman. No one person is going to replace somebody that dynamic, but do you agree that I think the Cubs have done a pretty superb job in restocking that bullpen thus far?
Yeah, no question. And along the lines of getting the last out in the World Series, throw in Mike Montgomery, who did it this year when he stepped in the 10th inning for C.J. Edwards, got that ground out to Chris Bryant. The Cubs have the guys that have gotten the final out in three of the last four World Series. But bad news, Matt, I think they're going to have trouble making it four for four because they'd have to get Madison Bumgarner from the Giants to do that. So, I do think they were thrilled at the winter meetings to be able to trade Jorge Soler and fill that closer vacancy. I think they knew when they traded for Aroldis Chapman last winter that they weren't going to go to the lengths it would take to re-sign him this year, and that they would be once again shopping for a closer. And, Wade Davis has arguably been the best relief pitcher in the major leagues the last 3 years. I mean, he did have some arm issues last year that raised a little bit of a caution flag, but you're talking about a guy over the last 3 years has a 1.18 ERA and a whip of under 0.9. So Wade Davis has just been as good as you can be using that his four-seam fastball and cutter. Last year, a little bit of a drop-off, and he did have some forearm issues that raised a red flag. But I know Theo Epstein went back and looked at every outing he pitched in September, and the Cubs even sent their trainer to New York to do a physical on Davis the day of the trade after they had agreed to it, and come away convinced that he's going to be just fine for 2017. And Uehara really gives him a lot of strength from the right side. But one thing they like about him is, a little bit like Justin Grimm, he's a guy they call a reverse split pitcher. He's been very effective against left-handed pitchers. Left-handed batters. They actually hit 139 off him last year, and they've hit in the 180s off him for his career. So he's a guy that, while if you look at their bullpen, it looks a little bit right-handed heavy right now. They have six right-handers, you would say, locked in for next year's bullpen. But Uehara and Grimm could maybe make it less significant that they don't have a real dominating left-hander there, especially, and they won't if they use Mike Montgomery as a starter, which is the plan. I think Montgomery was very valuable in the bullpen last year, but a guy they're going to try to stretch out and see if they can get a significant starting pitcher out of him.
Yeah, when you look at the bullpen and what they lost, three big left-handed arms, and of course we talked about Chapman. Montgomery didn't leave the team, but as you said, he's going to be stretched out in the rotation, and Travis Wood leaves via free agency too. So three quality lefties right there, and to bring in a guy in Uehara with those reverse splits, as you said, who is maybe more effective against lefties with that splitter than he is against right-handers, that was a big, big get for Theo Epstein to help restock that bullpen. Phil, do you think it's a foregone conclusion that Wade Davis is going to be the shoe-in closer for 2017, or does Hector Rondon get a chance to get that job back, as he was very effective before the team traded for Chapman, but he really kind of fell off and he lost some faith in Joe Maddon's eyes, and we barely saw him in the World Series?
Yeah, one thing, Matt, I'm not sure Hector Rondon was 100% healthy in September and October. He was good enough to be on the roster, but he had had some It's triceps issues, and as a guy that has already had one Tommy John, those really worry you. And I think the Cubs are going to evaluate his health when he gets to Arizona first and foremost. And the guy I think is interesting to watch is actually Carl Edwards Jr. He has that swing and miss four-seam fastball that, it's the high spin rate fastball that almost looks like it's rising, and very, very effective guy, and a guy that when they did sort of back off of Rondon and Pedro Strop in the World Series, he was elevated, and he never really seemed to pitch scared in any of the big spots for a rookie in his first chance like that. You know, I think he really opened eyes and impressed people, and I think what we could see over the whole course of the season is Wade Davis be used kind of as a bridge to get to Carl Jr. as the future, the closer of the future. I think C.J. Edwards will play a big role in their bullpen.
Yeah, I know Edwards would have loved to have been the answer to that trivia question as to, you know, who recorded the final out of the Cubs' long-awaited championship. He got the first two, but then the Davis single knocked him out, and it was Mike Montgomery, as you said at the top of the podcast, who did get that final out to become the answer to that trivia question. And we talked about Montgomery. He is headed to the rotation basically to replace Jason Hamill, who was not offered a deal by the Cubs. He's a free agent currently. He's still a free agent. And are you a bit surprised that, you know, here's a guy that won 15 games. The peripheral numbers, not great. They were down from 2015, like, you know, strikeout-to-walk ratio, whip, and numbers of that nature. But nonetheless, are you a bit surprised that he has not generated a little more interest on the open market? Again, he did win 15 games.
Well, I'm a little surprised, but I do think, what we've seen with the starting pitcher market is we've seen, basically 8 of the 9 or 10 best already signed, and it's a real thin market from here on out. I know he is looking for a multi-year contract. I feel like he will get it, but it was interesting when the St. Louis Cardinals traded Jaime Garcia to the Atlanta Braves and got 3 prospects back from him for him. Garcia had a club option for this year, exactly like Jason Hamill did, and I think the Cubs could have exploited Hamill's value the same way the Braves did. I think they could have exercised that option and then put Hamill into the market, traded him, and got something out of it. But I think they so appreciated the fact that Hamill came back and signed a deal with them and had pitched so well, kept himself ready even last postseason when he wasn't on the postseason roster. And I think they did him a favor by not exercising that option. And I think he will get a decent deal. He may just have to play it out a little bit longer than he would like, but I think there will be a good contract out there for Jason Hamill.
Yeah, you would seem to think so, and it just goes to show just how unbelievably deep and loaded that Cubs rotation was when a guy who wins 15 games does not crack the postseason roster. It all worked out for them as they win the World Series in 2016 and looking to repeat in 2017. Phil, to come down the home stretch here, obviously Dexter Fowler, a big loss for this Cubs team, but not unexpected as he was back with them in 2016 on the one-year deal after failing to strike it rich in free agency last year. This year, a much different story. 5 years, better than $82 million to go to the rival Cardinals. So you subtract Fowler, subtract Soler in the Wade Davis trade. So what does the Cubs starting outfield look like in 2017? And perhaps more importantly, excuse me, who fills that leadoff role in the lineup for the Cubs?
Well, Matt, you know, you're right with those two guys gone. Certainly Fowler, a big role last year. Jorge Soler in and out because of injuries. And frankly, early in the season after Kyle Schwarber was injured, Soler had a really nice opportunity there to establish himself, and he could never really get his stroke going consistently. And Schwarber does come back, so you know I think that is probably the biggest development in their outfield is they're expecting Kyle Schwarber to be their everyday left fielder. Center field is going to be, at some point, it's going to be Albert Almora's job, but I think early in the year it could be John Jay. breaking out more and a little bit slowly. And I think still Hayward in right field. And the challenge is going to be, where do you play Ben Zobrist? I think Zobrist is a guy that, shows his value all the time in the lineup and is a solid fielder, but not at the level of a lot of those other guys. And with Javier Baez as a second baseman now, I think you could see maybe a Zobrist, Jason Hayward type platoon in right field. I think you'll still probably see Javier Baez moving around to give Chris Bryant a day off at third base or Addison Russell a day off at shortstop and Zobrist playing second base. But I think that's going to be sort of the challenge as you look at this roster every day, is how is Joe Maddon going to write Ben Zobrist's name into the lineup 5 or 6 days a week, because he's going to want to do that. And, the leadoff spot is an open question. I think it will be until spring training. But don't dismiss Kyle Schwarber because he's 235 pounds and looks like a guy that ought to be hitting in the cleanup spot. Schwarber has a high on base. And if you go back and look at the defensive metrics, if he's able to not be badly hampered running the bases, you go back to 2015, his rookie season, he actually rated out on Bill James' base running metrics ahead of Dexter Fowler. I mean, I think that really seems surprising, but he's a guy that consistently scored from second on singles. I think he had 4 chances to score from first on a double, scored every time. I've always said he's a guy that is way more athletic than he looks. He doesn't look like a leadoff hitter, but neither did Grady Sizemore, and he did it very well throughout his career. Sizemore, a little bit different. He's a speedy guy. The Schwarber doesn't have the speed, but I think he's clearly shown in his short window of time in the big leagues that he really has the instincts to do it. So when Joe Maddon talks about Schwarber as a leadoff possibility, I know some eyeballs roll. But I think that's actually a legitimate possibility that we'll get a look in spring training if Schwarber's left knee is fully recovered and he's up to it.
And, of course, if there's going to be any manager in the game who thinks outside the box, it's Joe Maddon, and he would be the guy to put Kyle Schwarber in that leadoff spot. You brought up the base running metrics, which I think would surprise a lot of people. And like you said, he does not look the part of a, prototypical leadoff hitter. He looks like he should be linebacker for the Bears, but he is more athletic than he appears. And if that left knee is back to 100%, it could be a very, very interesting fit at the top of that lineup. And of course, in left field too. We'll see what happens with a Schwarber and friends here in 2017. Phil, one more to wrap up. It seems like obviously, this team is loaded. That's no secret. They're the reigning world champions. They've patch some holes in the bullpen with the departures of Chapman and Travis Wood. But if there's one or two things you'd like to see underneath the Cubs Christmas tree, so to speak, what would they be right now?
Well, I think the roster wise, and maybe Mike Montgomery becomes this, but it's that controllable young starter. I mean, we saw the White Sox make 2 trades at the winter meetings and get back all these young power arm guys. Those are really the kind of guys the Cubs have not been able to acquire through trades. I mean, they did get Jake Arrieta, more of a mid-career guy at the point they got him. I think they would still, I think you still keep an eye on them finding a way to pull off a trade for one of the controllable starters on the market. And I think lacking that, I think watch the Tyson Ross negotiations, because while he's also now a mid-career guy and he's coming back from a serious shoulder surgery, thoracic outlet syndrome, he's a guy that's been on the Cubs radar for a long time, and the Cubs are talking to his representatives about a possible deal that I think would be, he's only 1 year away from free agency, so I think the deal the Cubs would like to sign would be one that would give the Cubs at least 1 option year, maybe 2 option years, and get them past 2017 when they're looking at a possible free agency for Arrieta and a possible retirement or around the free agency for John Lackey. So I think to get another starter under control beyond 2017 would be a big addition for the next 6 weeks, the time between here and spring training, that would really round out their roster.
Great stuff as always today from Phil Rogers filling in for Kerry Muscat. Phil, we thank you so much for the time. We'll do it again soon, I'm sure. In the meantime, it's Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Chicago Cubs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.